As announced, the text is 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. I would like to read those words once more. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's word from our text exhorts and encourages us to work with and to hold on to all of Scripture. Every man of God, that is, every believer, everyone, need to work hard and to study faithfully God's word in order to be equipped for carrying out the good work of God, that is, our calling, carrying out our calling in this world. For as believers in and disciples, followers of Christ, we all are in the ministry of witnessing to the gospel. Those who hold a special office in church have to lead the members in doing so. And yet, we all and everyone have to promote the cause of Christ in the office of all believers. So from the perspective of the special office, but also from the perspective of the office of all believers, I can say we all are Timothys. To witness of the truth. To hold on to Scripture. And that task, witnessing of salvation through Christ, for that task, we all need the sustaining power of God's Spirit. And so we need to live and to feed on God's Word. In regard to this need, the Holy Spirit who dwells in the church and also who dwells in us instructs us to hold on then to all of Scripture. Holy Scripture, then, is the divine truth. And therefore, God's Word is very powerful, useful, effective. It's a supreme tool, supreme means for carrying out the good work that we have to do in this world. Our task as servants of the Lord. So this morning I may serve you with this message, the supremacy of the Word of God. In your Christian life and office, hold on and feed on all of Scripture. 3 points, Scripture's divine origin, Scripture's great usefulness, and Scripture's blessed effect. The supremacy of the Word of God, the first point then, Scripture's divine origin. Brothers and sisters, young and old, in the first letter of the second epistle of Timothy, 2 Timothy, the old Paul instructs the young Timothy to stay right on its track, or right on the mark in regard to the apostolic teaching. In the teaching, the emphasis is and should be fully on the Word, on Scriptures. If we study the pastoral epistles, we indeed will discover that all of Scripture needs to take center stage in our Christian life. And that's no wonder. For the Word is the power of salvation. And being that the case, Timothy is not allowed to use or to promote anything else than Scripture. The Apostle Paul then instructs Timothy to follow the succinct pattern of God's Word about the sin of man, salvation of God, and the ministry of the Christian. Now, during our Bible reading this morning, we saw that the direct context of Paul's encouragement in our text is Paul speaking about false doctrines and wild living. Over against an ungodly life, the apostle places the God-fearing life. He says that the ungodly life will go from bad to worse. Such a life is trapped, caught up in Satan's web. An ungodly life is deceptive. It's empty. But God's people and servants don't live and promote that devilish or foolish life. They live a thoughtful and wise spiritual life. Such a godly life in the wisdom, a life with God's word, is a saved life. That is a full life. The reference to the folly of the devil and the wisdom of God makes our text passage antithetical. Antithetical. That means, what it means is, that the two lives are totally different. The ungodly man lives with and for the lie. The godly man lives with and for the truth. In our chapter, this is clearly pointed out by the apostle. Look at verse 10 and 14, where the contrast very clearly pointed out with that word, but. Says and pictures the world and the life of the world, but then he said, but you live a different life. So after Paul has painted the focus of the ungodly one, he strongly affirms, but as for you, Timothy, this counts. You have the truth in all of Scripture. In our text then, Paul shows why Scripture has this character of supremacy. God's word is a supreme means and tool, since its origin is not from above, not from below, but from above. It is as if the apostle wants to say, all people adhere to certain sacred writings. A great majority of people around us, they follow human philosophy, principles, or a code. Be it their own or taken from somewhere else. But we, that contrast again, but we, the apostle says, we have the scriptures directly from God. You know, that is so true. In the Old Testament, we read that God spoke and gave his word to Moses. He himself even wrote with his own fingers. We read the word of the law on two tablets of stone. Furthermore, God also used other peoples as his instruments, the prophets and the apostles. Now, God did not pick those people up as just his pens so that they, in kind of a trance, automatically and unconsciously would write things down. No, God chose his writers using their personalities and skills. His Holy Spirit made use of their thought patterns and intentions. And so, through the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, God himself, God has given us his word, his complete word, abundantly sufficient for our glorious life and salvation. In a beautiful way, our text describes how God's word is given to us by inspiration. Now take note immediately. We do not read that Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of man. All other so-called holy and religious writings and books came into being by the inspiration of man. A so-called prophet, Muhammad of the Muslims, or as Joseph Smith of the Mormons, or as Charles Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The holy books of Hindus and Buddhists have their origin through the meditation or the inspiration of gurus and monks. Now, over against all those religious writings, our text affirms that Scripture, Holy Scripture, is far above. It is superior over all of them. Scripture is not given by the inspiration of man, but we read by the inspiration of God. That is to say, all of Scripture has its origin in God. Actually, our text says all of Scripture is God-breathed. Came on the breath of God, so to speak. And you know what the breath of God does. His breath has enormous power. The breath of God gives life, Genesis 1. If we may equate his breath also with his voice, as in Psalm 29, a psalm that we sang also this morning, then we know that God's breath also strips things bare, it destroys. Also true. With God's word in your hands, with God's word on your lips, in all humbleness, we acknowledge that divine powers are working. For Scripture is refreshing, regenerating, comforting. Scripture is also judging, condemning, even troubling. Never forget what we read in Hebrews 4, that because of having its origin in God, the Word of God, Holy Scriptures, is living, is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And one can already read about the power of the Word in Scripture itself. Man, because a living soul, man became a living soul through the Word of God. Man was also judged by the Word of God. He was renewed by the Word of God. David, for example, repented on the Word of God. They were also judged by the Word of God. Ananias and Sapphira fell deaf to the ground on the Word of God. I mention now just a few instances that prove the divine origin of the Word. Congregation, one more thing needs to be said in regard to the origin of Holy Scriptures, and especially our young people who follow higher education need to beware of the superiority of the Bible. Beloved, beware of the fallacy of the devil who puts Scripture on the same level as all other religious writings. Nowadays, religious studies, even in our Christian world, is often taken as comparative studies of all religions. Nothing wrong, then, people will say, nothing wrong if one favors the one over the other. Yet here, at Christ Church, We hear and we continue to hear God's holy writing, Scriptures, cannot be compared with any other book. In the other books, the Spirit of man speaks. But in Holy Scriptures, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God speaks. You see, the Bible is the dependable and authoritative Word of God. Indeed, it is the invaluable rule, as the apostles have taught us, saying, test the spirits, whether they are of God. And likewise, we state in our confession, Belgic Confession, Article 7, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not welcome his teachings. 2 Timothy 1. Instead, brothers and sisters, we have to welcome our office bearers who come to us in the power of God. For you know, they don't come in their own strength. No, they have Holy Scriptures in their hands and upon their lips. And all of you, take the Word of God on your breath to exhort and to encourage one another, to persevere in faith in our dark and hostile world. Let all of us do so as Timothy's, as God's servants. Let our holy and powerful God work in our lives through Holy Scriptures. And that brings us then to our second point, the great usefulness of Scripture. Nowhere, congregation, nowhere in the whole wide world can one find such a profitable, useful, and meaningful tool for our life than Holy Scriptures. Many people in our postmodern time cannot see that and do not want to see that. They follow the fallacy of the devil, as referred to in point one. Man outside the church thinks that the Bible comes from a culture. The Bible comes from a culture in which people were fearful and they were uncertain because of the darkness of their ignorance. But today, those people will say today, man has much more light on the elements and matters around them. We know now how weather patterns influence the climate. And through genetic engineering, we can greatly improve crops. Medical science has made great strides in the possibility of even making babies. And so, through man's power, insight and wisdom, it is claimed that man has come of age. At the same time, he has discovered the rights to live a free, a pleasant life, throwing away the oppressive Christian teachings against abortion, homosexuality, divorce, promiscuity. In such a world, beloved, at the same time, the existence of hell is dismissed. The place the Bible and Scripture speaks about. The place of eternal doom doesn't, of course, fit the postmodern lifestyle of pursuing hedonistic pleasures. In our world, the tool with which office bearers work, the tool that we use ourselves, which we hold so dear, the tool, the Holy Scriptures, is branded as hate or doom literature. Beware, congregation, and in society around us, more and more, Holy Scripture is labeled as being dangerous and destructive. Even within local, provincial, and federal government, people think that such literature as the Bible cannot and should not have a place anymore in schools. That book is totally outdated, not useful for normal life anymore. Congregation, in such a world, the Lord gives us a place with his superior tool in our hands. Our task is to oppose the ungodly world, the unbelieving world, and doing so then we witness to our joy in and live with the Bible in the light of Christ's gospel, that He freed us from Satan's web. For us, Holy Scripture is not doom literature at all. It is fully love. It is good news literature. So the Holy Scripture is not a hateful or an angry God is breathing into our neck. Instead, He is a loving Father. He cares for us, and He breathes new life into us through the Holy Scriptures. Look what the Apostle says about the great usefulness of Scriptures. God's Word is the tool for right living, all right? Let's take note which words the Apostle uses. It's teaching, it's rebuking, it's correcting, it's training in righteousness. What do those words tell us? Let's look at the last phrase, especially, and first and foremost, in righteousness. Scripture is concerned with our righteousness, wholesome, right living. And at the same time, immediately, it means and also to say we should not lose our life in Christ because He is our righteousness and holiness. Losing that righteous life is easily done in our unrighteous world around us. Old and young here will need to admit that pleasure seeking is in our own blood too. We too are inclined to buy into the thought that actually, it's impossible that a loving God will send many people into eternal punishment. And actually, congregation, actually, more and more around us, we can hear that many Christians today do not believe anymore that hell exists. That's also inconceivable to them. But our Heavenly Father does not leave us free that we give in to our own nature. No, with much patience and great care, He comes to us with His effective word. He teaches who He is, what He has done, but His purpose is. He also teaches who we are, that we are created in His image, that we have rebelled against Him, but that through His powerful word, we now show the righteous and holiness, holy image of Christ. And in doing all that, the Heavenly Father indeed comes with His instruction, and He comes with His rebuke and admonitions. And He gives us trials on the way. He clearly shows what the wrong way is. And He also clearly shows where the wrong way leads to. Think of Christ's teaching about the broad way and the wide gate in Matthew 7. With His rebukes, God also applies discipline and punishments. He sends hardships, so that through pain and disappointments, His children learn to grow in obedience. In all of this, our loving God and Father is very compassionate. He mercifully listens to the cries of His people. And so He restores peace and prosperity to them. All of Scripture clearly show how useful God's word is to them. Remember what our faithful God did to Abraham, to Moses, to all the people of Israel, to David, even to His own Son in our flesh. Through His teaching and discipline, God trained them all so that they learned obedience. Through His children, though his children often like to be left alone, you know, God never leaves them to their own devices. He comes with his word of teaching, with his rebuke, with his rod, with his tests, so that we do not run ourselves into the ground, losing everything, but that we are lifted up and strengthened unto gaining everlasting joy. Our congregation, take in there for all of Scripture. It's a hard chore in our modern society with so many distractions. And by nature, we are lazy. And so we need reminders and rebukes, sufferings, and constant training. That's the word of the Bible. Very useful. It makes us healthy and fit for the true life to do good. It is a life of Christ, living in his righteousness and holiness. Timothy, as minister, must show this wholesome life by holding on to all of Scripture. And as said, we all are Timothys, especially the office bearers. But not only them. They must show the good examples to us. For we all must use all of Scriptures as a useful tool for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see how great the usefulness of Scripture is. Through his word, God breathes new life into us so that we spiritually are healthy and fit. Fit and energetic for what? We have come to our last point, that blessed effect of Scripture. Verse 17, flowing from verse 16, shows where our living with Scripture, our taking in of Scripture leads to. It has this blessed effect that a man of God, Timothy, the man of God, the God-fearing man and woman, as God's servant, in his ministry, that he is and she is thoroughly equipped for every good work. By living with and using Scripture, Timothy will be competent to do his task as God's servant. And let us now immediately apply this to our situation. By holding on to all of Scripture, minister and elders will be able to guide, teach, and admonish the people under their care. By taking and feeding on the Scriptures, deacons will be equipped to help and support all of us who need the mercy of Christ in our day-to-day life in a practical way, so that we are not destroyed by earthly things, things that will totally disappear, materialism and worldly pleasures, but that we joyfully live with all that God provides, including hardships. The deacons will learn that themselves, but they will then also teach us. And then for all of us, beloved, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, it is true that by holding on to the truth of Scripture, by treasuring the riches of Scripture, by taking it in and enjoying that spiritual nourishment of Scripture, we all then are equipped to the tasks God calls us to do in church, family, marriage, society. But through Scripture, don't go just on the fly. Don't go follow your own opinions, much less follow modern spirit. But through Scripture, feeding on it, you know then what to say. And then you know what to pray, and you know what to do good and what to do. And you know which way to go, the way that will be beneficial and profitable, the way of Christ, the way to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. Today, this morning, through God's voice, so to speak, we are training to follow and to walk on that way. Precisely why we have assembled again this morning, that we persevere in having our joy in Holy Scriptures, being strengthened, and also strengthen one another to keep in step with the Holy Spirit on the way to the final day. O congregation, our problems and the problems of this world won't be solved by human wisdom or inventions. It won't be solved by good intentions. They won't give a life of lasting rest and peace. At the end of the day, yes, at the end of this age, this truth of Scripture will be established. Blessed, we read in Revelation, blessed are those who wash their robes, that is, who lived in Christ's righteousness, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the gates into God's city. But, again, there you have the contrast. But outside are the dogs and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Oh, congregation, let's listen attentively. The tool that we have at hand, Scripture, as said before, is sharp, and it cuts deep. It is unto life or death. It is full of comfort and hope, but at the same time, judging and condemning. But through only through Scriptures, we acknowledge in humbleness that comfort and hope then don't come from us, nor the judgment and condemning are our prerogatives. They are all God's. So then we stand in awe that through God's amazing grace, we are privileged to listen to God's voice. And so then also we are privileged to use His powerful, useful, an effective tool. You see, Scripture truly is superior. So live then with all of Scripture. Hold on to all of Scripture. Feed on all of Scriptures. Then you will do the good work. Proclaim in all that you do the good news of His salvation. From day to day, you declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Yes, you see, He is supreme. God is supreme. And so is His word. Amen.